This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Betts with Devin Nunes, the CEO and guru of Truth Social. We turn to the news of the week because, as Devin has told me, he had a very big week on Truth Social for State of the Union because former President Trump was commenting on President Biden's remarks. You know, very difficult to remember President Biden's remarks given that he was faced with a divided Congress and unlikely that the so-called progressive policies of his first 2 years are going to be endorsed or continued by the Republican majority in the House of Representatives. However, there was one story that the president brushed by quickly because it happened just days before. That is Chinese surveillance balloon sailing over North America and brought down off the coast of South Carolina. And a Chinese surveillance balloon, we presume, sailing over Costa Rica, Colombia, onto Venezuela. We don't know its fate. The president spoke of that balloon in passing. Since then, of course, there's been not one more, but two more balloons confirmed, or two more objects confirmed. One over Alaska that was confirmed as a balloon brought down by NORAD's air defense, and one over Canada also brought down by NORAD's air defense. Other sightings may or may not be confirmed. However, I turn to Devin Nunes to comment on this very odd affair because the intention before the first balloon sailed over the ICBM missile base in Montana, Stratcom in Nebraska, the B-2 base in Missouri, until it was in the Atlantic Ocean and brought down. Until then, Secretary of State Blinken was headed to Beijing to confer with Xi Jinping, the General Secretary, on the pressing matter of climate change. Yes, that was the priority for that meeting, climate change, to get agreement from China that somehow China will comport with climate change ambitions, though China and India are the source of all of the greenhouse gases of everybody else together, I believe. I don't want to exaggerate this, but let's put it this way. The administration is seeking a way to talk to China about something non-controversial, while China, we believe, is the author of surveillance of our strategic sites. Devin, you watched this, and you watched your colleagues, your former colleagues in the House of Representatives, react to the president's speech. We're getting to normalize Chinese bad acting. Is your measure of the Biden administration, do they evidence that they have a policy to in some way stop China from being a bad actor, or are they tolerating China as a great big child they can't possibly discipline?
John, I think where we're at is this is the start of the, for lack of a better term, the UFO wars. You know, there's so many of them now, you can't keep track. You don't know which ones are real. But clearly, this is a strategy by China to begin to poke holes in our defense mechanisms by using these types of UFOs. And it's unknown at this point, are they just testing different technology? Or is it more sophisticated, like the spy balloon that was shot off the coast of South Carolina? That, you know, I have to say, as somebody who spent quite a bit of time in this in the field working in the military and intelligence programs, it was a pretty impressive feat that they were able to fly a balloon some 50, 60,000 feet in the air, we're told, and be able to navigate it. You know, number one, get it halfway around the world and be able to navigate it. You know, I don't know how much fuel it had, how far it was going to go, but they seemed to be able to drive that, to steer the balloon right over our military bases. And then I'm not sure at what point did they decide to throw up these other spy balloons. I don't think we know that. So this is really the, you know, is this the start of the UFO wars? And, you know, I look at a balloon like that, and maybe these other ones, we haven't seen any pictures because I guess it's too new, but I guess we'll be getting more information, but they seem to be a little different than the other one. But, you know, with cheap Chinese labor and a balloon like that, you're talking about something that probably costs the Chinese, you know, each one of those probably costs the Chinese, you know, couple hundred thousand dollars, maybe $1 million at most. And yet, you know, it costs us, I'm just kind of throwing out rough numbers here, but between all the scrambling of jets and everything else and using missiles to take it down, you know, probably costs us, you know, $10, $15, $25 million to shoot one of those things down.
Just all the jet fuel was expensive. We keep scrambling jets, Devin. It's costing money.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to steer, you got to put jets in the air and, you know, and those, every one of those missiles to take those things out are expensive too. So, I mean, kind of a brilliant strategy by the Chinese, you know, for every, you know, $500,000 to $1 million they spend, get us to spend, you know, 10, 20, 30 million. And that doesn't also take into account all the redistribution of assets that have to be done now to try to protect for this new enemy of Chinese spy balloons. So this is, you know, this is, I think, caught our defense and intelligence people in the Biden administration flat-footed. And, you know, I'm still convinced, I think I said this last week on the show, you know, if it wouldn't have been for the former reporter and his buddy that had an airplane that they both loved astronomy, looking in the stars, had they not seen that over the big Montana sky, I think they were content on just seeing if this thing could just blow over and nobody would find out. I mean, it's really incredible that they let that happen. And for so many days, it made the Biden administration look so weak. So if you're the Chi-Coms, I mean, you're right away like, hey, one spy balloon calls all that. Hell, these things are cheap. Let's put up 30 more. So I don't know how many more are going to be on the way.
Does the Biden administration look to you to regard China as an adversary, as a partner, as a competitor, as a hostile? Do you have a way of explaining what the president believes these balloons represent?
John, I think they've really just had their head in the sand on China for so many years. I mean, you've had, you know, Gordon Chang on your show for almost two decades now, and him and Gordon and I have appeared on your show together over the years. And I think where we're at is that, you know, Gordon has basically, you know, been proven right now that, you know, he's been sounding this alarm that the Chinese are playing for keeps and they're into, you know, global domination and in superiority. I mean, they want to surpass the United States and be the global dictatorship. And look, they're well on their way as long as the left in this country continues to invest and put priorities on policies that don't work. And whether that's the policies of global warming, or it's the policies of critical race theory, or it's the policies of that, you know, girls can be boys if they want to and boys can be girls. These are all things that our adversaries love, because as they watch us spend ourselves into oblivion, focus on issues that don't matter or actually are destructive to our country. This is all good for China. And so China is in a very, very good position right now of really taking advantage of the weakness that we are showing here in the United States under the Biden administration.
The president is headed to Warsaw, we're told, in these next days, at the one-year mark or near to the one-year mark of the Russian attack on Ukraine. The president going to the front lines, because that's what it is, Poland's in the frontier, going to the front line is good of him to bolster our allies. They are doing the heavy lifting of getting supplies into Ukraine. We're also told that a Russian offensive is either underway or imminently underway. So the president is taking great risk. I'm sure he will be well protected. But then there's this question. What is it that the president offers us as a vision of how he's going to conduct the U.S. in Ukraine these next 2 years? I've been waiting for a 9 o'clock at night speech from the president about our war aims. I haven't heard one. Do you have an understanding of what our war aims in our Ukraine? Is it as simple as Russia go home? That's our war aim?
Yeah, John, this is something that, that is also, you know, hard to believe as somebody who had been warning about Putin, you know, back in the, you know, 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14 timeframe when Putin was having his way with us around the globe. And if you recall, the position of the United States from both Democrat, you know, from Clinton to Bush to Obama, the position was always, oh, we need to get along with Putin. He's a world power. We need to have negotiations. We need to have constant dialogue. And yeah, we know he's a thug. We know he's a killer. But you know, we're going to have to get along with him because he has this nuclear arsenal, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they had a really weak policy against Putin. And if you notice, you know, they didn't try anything with Trump. And all of the people that were there for the 8 years of Obama have now gotten promotions in the Biden administration. And for people that have prided themselves as the skilled negotiators, and we have to always keep dialogue open, John, they're doing the opposite. It's like all of a sudden, the Democratic Party have become like this party of warmongers that's careening us towards, if we're not going to have a UFO war, you know, we could have a partial nuclear war with Putin doing something really crazy in the fight against Ukraine. So this is going in a very bad direction. You know, he should be doing nothing other than trying to get dialogue opened between Russia and Ukraine to try to bring this to a close. So for the party that loves the United Nations, loves dialogue, loved Putin for so many years, to now all of a sudden be warmongering for Ukraine, which most people didn't even know where Ukraine was on the map before this, except I guess for Hunter Biden, because the money that the Bidens got out of Ukraine. This has gotten totally out of hand. I mean, we're over $100 billion into this thing. And look, I'm, as you know, I'm no fan of Putin. And I definitely don't want to see the old Iron Curtain come up. I was a big supporter of Poland and Romania and all these former Soviet bloc countries. I mean, I spent a lot of my career trying to help them rid themselves of Putin. But this is madness that we're spending this type of money, pounding our chests, and not trying to actually get to the diplomatic table and try to bring this, to some resolution. It's absolutely crazy, and it's dangerous. So on one hand, we've got the never-ending war in between Ukraine and Russia that we're playing with live ammunition, and then we've got on the other side of the continent of Asia, we've got the UFO war starting with China.
Devin, I mentioned, because these things keep pouring over us, within the last 12 hours, we had what appeared to be not accurate reports of an unidentified flying object over Montana. There were jets scrambled. There was a KC-135 shot sent up. There were comments from Senator John Tester of Montana, and I believe a congressman from Montana. Will know more in the morning. Nothing has come from that report, but within this last hour, as we're talking, we have a report of a KC-135 out of Pittsburgh looking for an unidentified flying object over Lake Huron. And we have this from a Congresswoman Elisa Slotkin. Just got a call from the Deputy Department of Defense. Our military has an extremely close eye on the object above Lake Huron. We'll know more about what this was in the coming days, but for now, be assured that all parties have been laser-focused on it from the moment it traversed our waters. No confirm. I'm just mentioning this is the second time in 12 hours that I've got this information from people watching where the Twitter feeds are for things happening and UFOs happening. Reuters is now reporting. Let me check on what Reuters says. U.S. military brings down flying object over Canadian border. We had that. That was yesterday. So what we have now is a series of possible sightings and possible balloons This is not over, Devin. That's the point I'm going to make here with a no summary. The first three reports are wrong, but this is not over. And the Biden administration owes us an explanation.
Well, I think next week, John, by the time we interview, no telling how many spy balloons we'll be dealing with another week from now.
Congressman Devin Nunes retired to run Truth Social, where the First Amendment will permit anybody to go on and say, these are not Chinese balloons. These are aliens. It confirms everything. You're welcome. In fact, I sent Devin a picture last night of an F-35 pilot giving a thumbs up from a distance, and you could see on the side of his beautiful aircraft one balloon, as in I shot down one balloon, and then two pictures of aliens. He shot down two aliens. So the Air Force is having a good laugh on all of us. However, this report from Lake Huron may or may not pan out, but we'd have to say at this point, the Air Force is alert, NORAD is alert. They're not going to get caught the way they did in the initial balloon sailing over Montana's missile base. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.